We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is Karen Johnson. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm a lot better than I was. I certainly got whatever was going around.
Oh, no.
And I had gone to Maryland to see family. They were all sick. But I didn't get COVID.
Oh, praise the Lord.
I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
But I certainly had a cough. I coughed and coughed a lot. So, but I'm well.
I'm glad you feel better. It's good to see you this morning.
Yeah. Your smiling face.
If you have a praise report or prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. Or you can still comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. Our sponsor today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more, they make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's a replay later. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
Oh, okay. Heavenly Father, as we know when we pray, we come before you in your presence, before your throne, and we take a hold of your hands, and we ask for your divine will to be done, and we know that that's a good and acceptable will, and Father, not our own. Lord, as we yield and surrender and submit ourselves to you to be instruments of righteousness and grace, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and continue to do throughout the world in the name of peace. Lord, we just thank you, Father God, for this time and this program and all that you are doing to hold back the enemy in Elk City at this gate. And we just thank you, Father God, that you are the mighty, the righteous, the holy one, and you are the most high God in which we worship, in which we bow our knee. And we thank you. We thank you for all the pastors, Lord, around the area, the gatekeepers, Lord, who are standing in faith for a move of God, for a move, a revival of some kind, the fire in the belly, the fire in the heart of the people. Lord, put the fire in them, and may they rise up and cry, "Holy, holy, holy are you, O Lord, our God." In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. I like your title. I think it's going to be good. The Price of Truth.
Yeah, and which is war, usually of some kind. I just had a huge witness of the Holy Spirit on that, because it does take some standing and battling and whatnot and making decisions. And our pastor at First Baptist has really been preaching his heart out about truth and to be in the Word, and not lightheartedly. Mm-hmm. Because we're going into I know he's right on, because he's saying, don't do a surface study, dig deep, get into it. So it goes into your heart, goes into your mind, and changes you, mm-hmm. causes some sort of transformation. You haven't read it, meditated it, or pondered it, unless it's changed you.
That's right.
Because it has the power to transform. And it's been a long time since I heard somebody say that from the pulpit, who's telling his people to do that. Don't expect it from him, even though he is doing that, but for each one of us to be empowered and to witness daily. Jesus died and he rose, and Jesus loves you. He said, if you can put those phrases in your mouth when you go out your front door and the first person you meet, witness to them that Jesus loves them, he died for them, and he's coming again for them, and to give them a hope. And he said, that's how desperate we are in this country for people to speak truth, because people aren't. People are silent. And we know it, but even I'm convicted. Like I could have, when somebody got saved a couple of weeks ago, and I was actually shocked that they called me, and it was over the phone, and they were desperate for intervention, because they knew they were in a very dark place, but somebody had told them to call me. So when they called me, I just went into intercession and prayer and to break the thing off so she could hear me, you know. And so it lifted enough for, I said, are you a Christian, you know? And she said, you know, I was Catholic when I was 12. I haven't been back since, you know, that thing. And I said, well, would you like to pray with me a prayer of salvation? And when you see that work like that and happen, and she got so set free just by getting saved in a matter of a few minutes, because she accepted and prayed and believed and repented. And so, you know, it's kind of thinking like, well, the enemy sure has done a number on us to make it sound so difficult. And it's not. But you have to be prepared in your heart to recognize the person who needs the truth. And you know, I have a friend that went out to Walmart. She's been out there now 7 years, and she's witnessed to a lot of people, hugged a lot of people. And she said, when you start hugging people, the love of God that leaves you and imparts to them really makes a way for them to hear what you have to say. And because they're battling, almost all of us have either been traumatized or in a survival mode, and take deep breaths and sigh. Okay, God. You know, and so it's not like it's that our journey has become easy. It seems like it becomes more and more demanding the truth in a deeper sense, to have the empowerment and the gifts of God evident to others. And I have failed miserably at times with, you know, in a hurry, have the list, got to get this done, and forget all about that Jesus is number one. Mm-hmm. Others are number two, and I'm third, which is spells joy, J-O-Y. And I thought, well, that is really a good word and a really good thing to remember and tell kids and whatever, that Jesus, if you go out the front door and remember joy, Jesus is first in everything you do, others a second, and you're a third. And I thought, wow, God, some of the simplest things sometimes resonate. And I was crying out to him saying, I am so tired of different things, but Lord, I know that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I know there's a cost to sharing the gospel. And I know that truth versus lies are polar opposite. But sometimes when someone has believed so many lies, they don't hear the truth at all. So your course is to pray. To pray for them, for that to break off. And for the deception, the self-denial. In Neil Anderson's material, there are several prayers about deception. And that's where we are. I mean, who's going to deceive who the most? And the truth of God, this is an hour where the truth of God truly is like a sword, because it cuts through that deception. And so we don't want to exalt opinions of others. We don't want to repeat opinions of others. And we don't want to embrace anything other than the Word of God, the promises of God. Someone one time said, do you know the promises of God? And I said, well, I've read them. I know some of them. And he said, well, there's over 8,000. And he had half of them memorized because he used them as decrees because he was praying on sight with insight. And so the question is, I think today, is whether or not we're willing to yield, surrender, submit ourselves to the truth and let the truth work its work. But there are some obstacles. Time, taking the time to in Acts 17, 10 through 15, the apostles throughout the book of Acts, it's a wonderful thing to study. And throughout it, it talks about different things that the apostles went through just to preach the gospel. But in 10 through 15, the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming went into the synagogue of the Jews. They were more noble than the Thessalonica, but in the readiness of the mind, they searched the scriptures daily whether that they those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, were Greeks and men. But Paul, they're making a point here that in verse 14, that immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go to the sea, and Timothy stayed behind to preach the gospel. And Paul brought him into Athens, and receiving a commandment for them to come in and speed, and so they departed. But they're in a stirred up group of people. And they're stirred up. I don't know if you've ever been around on TV, you see a lot of stirred up people who are really angry and doing things very violent. And when Paul would go into these cities, he'd see the idolatry. And then he would start preaching the truth of the gospel. And many of them believed. So we want to look at, you know, what do we do first? We preach the gospel. You know, and what is the gospel? And then they'll receive the word. It takes up residence. Many believe in Acts. Jesus loves you. He died for you on the cross. He was raised up for you. And it's almost like, I wonder how many times they actually said that to penetrate the idolatry or the darkness in which he was confronting. Because I thought, well, I don't know that I've ever really come out right away and said, well, Jesus loves you. He died for you. And he was raised up from the grave for you. Your sins were nailed to the cross with him on the cross. And so I'm just wondering, because, you know, there's so much material out there to read, whatever, or how to present the gospel, or to teach it or preach it or whatever. You can get lost in it. So, but there is a cost, and it's a cost of your time to daily spend in the Word of God. And there's a cost of your comfort. And there's a cost of the plans that you leave at the altar. And there's a cost of letting go of your pride, which is probably the biggest Band-Aid you'll take off. You know, as you age, comfort comes into play. But as you have grandkids, your plans may come into play. Because there's so many ball games, there's so much activity. And when I hear people talk about what they're doing with their spare time, I'm thinking, do not judge. You know, it's like, because there's always opportunity to share the gospel on a bleacher or some at a game or when you have your grandkids in the car. Or whatever, but the only way that they're actually see and feel the love if it's in you, mm-hmm. in your heart. And I remember the first time someone at a GLOW hugged me from Oklahoma City. She was an intercessor. And she came over to me, and you know how sometimes you just go through the motions. I'm going to show up. I'm going to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm here. I don't know how I got here, but I'm here. Mm-hmm. You know? And this lady came over to me, and it was like liquid gold poured out of her over me. And I had never, have never been the same since. I mean, I'd never forget it. It was just so impacting of every cell in my body that she was so full of the love of God to make that kind of impartation. And it wasn't just a, oh, how you doing, you know, kind of hug. It was a God-ordained, designed appointment to show me the depth of his love through her. And I think I prayed right then, oh, I want that. I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to give that to other people. But I had no idea the cost of that. That means I die so that you can live. And so the cost of the gospel and sharing Christ and the fruit of his, of the Holy Spirit is truly a depth that we don't know until we walk it out. But that was a beautiful experience that happened over there on 3rd Street at the Flamingo when it was still there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I want that for the family. And you know, I went to my family in Maryland, and I knew I was compelled to go, number one. There's about 50 of my family members still live there, including my sister and my brother. So when I showed up, well, it was right away. I knew what was happening. I mean, once my sister started sharing and stuff, and everybody was hurting. Everybody was hurting over something. And so I just started praying, Lord, let me be an instrument of your grace. You know, let me be able to not see Karen, the relative, but be able to experience your love. And we just had a really amazing time with each group of people that we went to visit and share. And so it's, you know, it's one of those things that I really, being vulnerable, but if you can remember, it's going to cost you your time, your comfort, your plans need to be laid on God's altar, and your pride, and it's going to be a daily thing in order to be, I don't say qualified, but to be empowered to share the gospel or
equipped,
prepared, equipped, mm-hmm. trained, because the Holy Spirit will overcome you and he'll speak through you mm-hmm. every time. So for me to know what the apostles did in the book of Acts and what they suffered and what they went through is an amazing, amazing thing. And I went to Greece and saw in the book of Acts, Paul addresses the unknown God in verse 23, chapter 17. And I often wondered what the unknown God was. Well, in Athens, there's gods all over the place, statues. And so the unknown God didn't have a statue.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it was operating through him. He was sharing the presence of the unknown God. It was an amazing experience for me because I thought it was just about debating and arguing and intellectualism and philosophizing with the Greeks. But he says, no, I perceive that all things are superstitious. For I have passed by and beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. So there was a piece of marble that they had set aside for just to make sure they caught all the gods.
Interesting.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Uh-huh.
So anyway, the God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in the temples made with hands. Amen. So I, as I was hearing this, there's I think that people need to be not trained, but how to overcome maybe feeling ashamed of the gospel, or feeling fearful, or afraid of being rejected, or afraid it's going to divide their family. Well, let me tell you what. Conspiracy theories have done a really good job of dividing families, and they're all based on lies. I mean, we've seen the last, what, 2-3 years of a nightmare of lies that, and I think everybody's paralyzed as to what to even say. Well, no, why not share Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to believe a pot of lies, are you really saved? Do you really know the Lord? You know, are you just going through the motions? Why would you perpetuate a lot of darkness that has not been based on fact?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I've been sharing that with a lot of people, and, you know, we don't know who's saved until they bear fruit.
That's true.
You know, that's what you tell a lot of people get out to get married. You know, it's like, well, he says he's a Christian. I said, well, have you seen him do some godly deeds or acts of kindness, or, you know, have you seen him pray or read the Bible or anything like that? Because I know so many women who were told that, and no, he was not. And so I wanted to cover that. I felt like that was important, and to encourage, because we're going into all these holidays. Mm-hmm. And we need to be armed. We need to be ready. We need to be doing, let our hands do acts of kindness and love on people, and not take for granted that people are truly born again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very tricky thing. And God led me to go to the Baptist village to go say goodbye to Edith Ashley and say hello to 4 or 5 of those women that I met when I first moved here, and to thank them for their Christian witness, yeah, for being bold, for being willing to be kind and loving and graceful, you never know who's seeking, who's watching. So anyway, I thought it was pretty neat to go up there and to see her, you know, 2 weeks before she passed. So it was kind of, thank you, God, because I'd rather see somebody alive than when they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that God blessed me with recently. And so I wanted to talk about truth in war as well. Truth to share. We need a bigger army, folks. We need a bigger army. So we need people saved. So you're being commissioned today, challenged today, charged today to share the gospel. And one time I went to Ireland with a friend from Germany, and she had been trained by Rodney Brown, one of the big evangelists down in Florida. And he has teams that he equips that teaches them how to share the gospel and the word, but also quotas. I mean, you have to go out. Everybody you meet, you speak to them about Jesus. You don't let one of them go by. You go out in twos. So I thought that was, you know, when I went with her, I thought, well, I've shared the gospel. I mean, I've done a lot of that. And she was absolutely like an arrow. I mean, on point. She didn't let one person, whether it's a bus station, on the bus, taxi, whatever. She opened it up, and she was always, it was a 2-minute thing about Christ, and she was, I bought a ticket, and I'm going, and I'm going to share Jesus. Done. That's it. You know? How many of us do that?
Not very many.
Or like, you know, I'm going to Oklahoma City. I hope I meet some people that I could share God with.
Mm.
Usually we're worried about something when we're going there. Anyway, I wanted to give you some scriptures about how to pray about the war between Israel and Hamas, and shift gears on truth in war as a war weapon, and these are pretty powerful scriptures that we're seeing in the gap. And if you're interested, later there is a daily Zoom call at 11 a.m. Central Time from Jerusalem with Mary Lois Little, and she mans the station. She's the general in charge, and you can Zoom in on that. And it is a powerful, powerful time to pray for the refugees, the hostages, and the soldiers, and everybody else that's involved, including our presidents and Netanyahu. It's definitely a crisis that we don't know how far it's going to reach. So I really wanted people to pray that God hems it in somehow with his shalom, with his peace, and break the powers of evil and hatred and revenge. So Psalm 20 is one of them. And Psalm 20, these are all in the Psalms. I marked this in a different Bible, so now I have to go look at them up again. That's no problem. You know, I think the biggest deal in most people, especially if you've been traumatized, is to trust. But God started off me with trusting him first. So it's like, if I can trust God, then I might be able to trust somebody.
There's been times when I've prayed, I don't trust this person, Lord, but I trust you.
Yes.
And if there's something you need to show me, you will show me.
Yes. And he's very faithful, very, very faithful to protect his children. And that's prayers for revival. Psalm 20, I don't know whether anybody has it or not, but it's where are you, Psalm 20? Stuck together. The Lord, hear me in the time of trouble, and defend me. Send help from the sanctuary and strengthen the Zion. And remember all the offerings and accept the burnt offerings. Grant according to thy own heart and fulfill the counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation in the name of our God. We will set up our banners, and the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know that I, the Lord, will save the anointed. He will hear, and from the holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. And boy, have I prayed that, Lord, save me by your right hand. I have prayed that a lot. And because some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. They are brought down and fallen, but we will risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, that the King hear us when we call. And I've been over to Israel 12 times and met a lot of the IDF soldiers, prayed with them. And they're just so young. I mean, they're 18 years old. And they have to serve 2 years, and then they're in the reserve until they're 40. That's in Israel. And so that 20 is one of their standard prayers before they go in. And on the news before I came, they're definitely considering going in just to rout out the Hamas. And so anyway, it's only God knows. And I pray that the captives are not killed, and that they will truly come through it. And I'm so glad they sent in aid, because the gospel is what we want these people saved. God wants these people saved. And I met someone who was an Arab born again guy, and at a conference, and he is from Canada, and he does a program to the Arabs and Muslim countries through satellite. And a lot of them have accepted mm-hmm. Christ, a lot. So, you know, we want to keep that in mind. They're not all evil, you know, and some of the things that have happened, let's pray that any mental illness doesn't come into play. That people won't do strange things. And Psalm 27 is what they're corporately declaring and as a war club. And the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And so, you know, it's kind of I've prayed that my heart will not fail. You know, I don't know what's going to happen to America. I think the exposure, all the prayers that have been prayed of exposing what's in our land has been exposed.
And still being exposed, I feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so, and I'm so thankful for that because there needs to be a cleansing mm-hmm. and accountability. And just true justice, mm-hmm. not a mock court stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, though a host would encamp against me, my heart shall not have fear. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And I think people may grow weary in seeking him. You know, going and just camping with him and getting his heart. You know, because without reinforcement, just like any army, you get tired. Mm-hmm. You have to have reinforcement. And you have to have the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. moving. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in the pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And so this is a beauty. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. And my husband is a retired infantry army guy. And he said, ground war is the worst war. He said, it'll be bloody. It'll be nasty. And it's going to be a lot of loss. And, you know, I just think of the courage that their hearts not faint, that God is with them when they go into those tunnels. Mm. I think they've tried to destroy a lot of the tunnels that the Palestinians have carved all the way up to the Temple Mount. They have destroyed a bunch of tunnels. Wow. Oh, yeah. There's arm. It's usually when I go to Israel, it's not a joyful thing as far as, oh, you know, let's go see the sites. It's usually I'm engaged in warfare mm-hmm. at the several of the prayer houses there. And I've always been impressed of how deep, because they know it's life or death, mm-hmm. how deep they are in the Word of God. And I think in the days ahead, you know, we will be there. We will really be sharpening our tools. Mm-hmm. Hide not thy face far away from me, but thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Monica, do you have something?
Yeah. Are we ready for, is this the time to take a break?
Yeah.